Hello.
Hi, Senator. How's it going?
Hey, good. How are you?
All right. Hey, so thanks so much for taking the time.
As I started to dig into this issue of gun control legislation, and especially after this most recent round of tragedies, I decided to reach out to Senator Chris Murphy, a Democrat from Connecticut.
This is the issue that I'm most passionate about. That's in some ways the motivating force for much of my political career.
So Senator Murphy has been the Senate's leader on gun control issues for quite a while now. It's basically overlapped with his whole career. He was elected, not long after the Sandy Hook shootings.
8 years ago today, we witnessed one of the worst tragedies, the mass murder of 20 children and six educators at Sandy Hook Elementary.
In talking to me about gun control, he really opened up about how heavy of a weight it is to have been a leader in this fight for so long.
I've got to do everything I can to make sure that no other family goes through what the families in Newtown or the North End of Hartford are dealing with.
He told me that if by the time his career was done, he hadn't made any progress on the issue, then his time in Washington would be a failure.
I'm Jeremy Siegel. This is Politico Dispatch. And today,
Hi, I'm Nicholas Wu, and I'm a congressional reporter.
Nicholas Wu, on one senator's quest to undo decades of stagnation and get gun reform legislation passed.
So Senator Murphy told me that the worst day of his whole career so far was about 8 years ago this week, which was when the Senate had defeated a gun control measure after the Sandy Hook shooting.
A few minutes ago, a minority in the United States Senate decided it wasn't worth it. They blocked common sense gun reforms even while these families looked on from the Senate gallery.
This is something that hits very close to home for him.
I really feel like if by the time my political career is done, we haven't made significant progress on this issue, that my time in Washington will be a failure.
He's only 47 years old, which is young by Senate standards. And for him, this is the issue that he's most passionate about. And he said it was the most motivating force for his whole political career. But he gave the caveat that every single day he wished that there was some other topic driving him forward, something without all of this tragedy.
This is a devastating issue to work on.
I mean, just a day before he talked to me, he'd stood with other lawmakers on the National Mall as they unveiled this memorial to victims of gun violence.
Thank you very much. It is humbling to be here today, surrounded by some of the strongest, most impactful advocates on the issue of gun violence.
And it was 40,000 white flowers on the mall, representing all of the people that had been lost that year to acts of gun violence.
I'm an example of the millions of parents across this country who have to listen to their children come home and explain to them the trauma of going through active shooter drills. Every parent in this country cannot understand why this Congress won't take easy steps to make sure that their kids are just a little bit safer when they leave the house every day.
So this is an incredibly heavy topic for him to be carrying the torch on. And this is far more than just a pet project for the senator.
You mentioned, he said, the worst day in his career was when gun reform bills failed in the aftermath of Sandy Hook, among them a universal background check bill. Now, a bill recently passed by the House to expand background checks is once again sitting in the Senate. How is Murphy trying to avoid that same failure as 8 years ago?
So Senator Murphy declined really to get into how his conversations across the aisle on guns were going as these sorts of private talks with Republicans continued.
Who would you say has been your best Republican partner on this so far?
Well, I don't, to be honest, I mean, I'm having some pretty productive conversations right now with a number of Republicans, and I don't necessarily want to talk about those publicly yet. But, there's a surprising number of Republicans who are open-minded right now.
He singled out Senator Pat Toomey of Pennsylvania as one potential ally.
In the past, obviously, you know, Senator Toomey has been central to, you know, any discussions around the issue of guns.
Toomey is interesting because he comes from somewhat of a more purple state. So within the realm of Republicans on gun issues, he occupies somewhat of a more moderate space. Hmm. Also, Senator John Cornyn of Texas, who he'd worked with before on very modest improvements to background check systems.
Cornyn and I wrote the Fix NICS bill, which passed a few years ago.
Senator Cornyn, I think, is just someone who's talked up a kind of background check bill that, while not the universal one that Democrats want, would be a very modest improvement to notify law enforcement if some ineligible person tries to buy a gun.
So you have some Republican senators who Murphy says are open to negotiations, though he's not naming them. You have others who in the past have supported gun laws, though not necessarily as strict as what Democrats are proposing. But at the end of the day, you do have a Republican Party that has basically blocked new gun control legislation for more than two decades. What is behind that?
When you talk to Republican senators about it, it's not just the gun lobby. It's the fact that you have many, many Americans who are firearms owners who feel very passionately about the rights that they have under the Second Amendment.
What happens in this committee after every mass shooting is Democrats propose taking away guns from law-abiding citizens because that's their political objective. But what they propose, not only does it not reduce crime, it makes it worse.
What we should never do is create new vague laws to restrict the constitutional rights of law-abiding gun owners. All of these new restrictions fail to stop criminals from breaking the law, but they do result in liability for Arkansans and Americans who responsibly own guns to protect themselves.
So they see this as a way of helping protect those constituents.
I know this is a dicey question, but as someone who is looking at the details of these measures, like universal background checks, like red flag laws, are they infringements on Second Amendment rights?
It all depends on who you ask. Mm-hmm. For some people, it's a very modest way of improving systems and keeping guns out of the hands of people who shouldn't have them.
When we have more guns, we have more gun violence. We can meaningfully address this by updating our gun laws to ensure both law-abiding Americans have a right to gun ownership, and we can prevent these horrific acts of gun violence that are occurring on a daily basis.
For others, it's, you know, an erosion of Second Amendment freedoms.
Every year, millions of Americans legally purchase firearms. In comparison, only a few thousand criminals or mentally ill individuals acquire guns and commit homicide. Will you let the criminal minority take away the rights of the law-abiding majority, rights which are supposed to be guaranteed to us by our Constitution?
Given how deeply entrenched these opposing views are, but also given the fact that there is public support for new gun legislation, the fact that Democrats control the House and narrowly the Senate, and also you have a Democratic president calling for action on this.
I believe the Senate should immediately pass three House-passed bills to close loopholes that allow gun purchasers to bypass the background checks. The vast majority of the American people, including gun owners, believe there should be background checks before you purchase a gun.
Is Murphy confident that it can somehow happen now, that he can avoid that failure that he talked about? Is this time different?
You know, I asked Senator Murphy about that, and he thought that it definitely was, you know, in the aftermath of yet again more tragedy. But you know, more importantly, there's the political reality of it.
We now possess more political power than the gun lobby, and we have a unique opportunity to get something done and finally break through.
I mean, he's hoping to give this maybe a month or so and basically see what they can come up with. And they'll put something out for a vote. If it gets filibustered again, then, well, that's that. And the he and the advocacy groups see this as just another knock against Republicans who would do so. But, you know, in the event that they are able to achieve any kind of bipartisan compromise, that would certainly be a breakthrough for them.
Nicholas Wu, thanks so much for talking with me.
Anytime.
Also today, Democrats are rejecting a still unfinished Republican counteroffer to President Joe Biden's $2.5 trillion infrastructure package. The proposal hasn't even been introduced yet, but Democrats are saying it is a non-starter, potentially moving the slim Senate majority even closer to abandoning talks with Republicans on a bipartisan bill. Senator Shelley Moore Capito is preparing to unveil the package with other deal-seeking Republicans in the coming days. It's expected to clock in around $600 to $800 billion. She acknowledged her proposal is not going anywhere with the Democratic majority, but asked for space to do her work and keep bipartisan talks with the White House going. And 200 million Americans have now received coronavirus vaccinations. On Wednesday, President Biden announced that the target for his first 100 days in office had been reached and also unveiled a new tax credit designed to encourage companies with fewer than 500 employees to give paid time off to workers for getting vaccinated. Under the measure, businesses and nonprofits may receive a tax credit for up to $511 per day of paid sick leave that employees take to get the shot or recover from its side effects from April 1st through September 30th. Biden is also calling on all employers, regardless of size, to offer paid leave for their workers to get vaccinated. Subscribe to Politico Dispatch wherever you get your podcasts. And while you're there, check out some of our other shows like Politico Energy, Pulse Check, and a new weekly show dropping this Friday called Playbook Deep Dive. I'm Jeremy Siegel. Thanks for listening.